Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 34 of Season 10 of Movie Our Minute, the Daily Podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today on this lovely Thursday is Eddie Eith. Welcome back, Eddie.
Some fruitcake on the Lexington line decided to ruin everybody's day.
Yep. It's chock full of nuts. All right. So I got to start off by telling everybody, over the last 24 hours, I actually did a little bit of homework based on things that we talked about yesterday.
So
the first thing I want to say is that I did spend probably way too much time looking through the Newlywed Game information to see if I can find find out what episode the mayor was watching, and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find information as to the contestants. I was told that there is no, or I was told, I read that there is no place where on the internet nowadays that people can find a list of all of the the contestants over the years. And then I saw something really interesting. I was like, okay, so let's just see if I can try and find out what episode is featured in The Thing in Pelham 123. And then I read that apparently the voice that you hear on the screen is not the voice of the Newlywed Game host. And therefore, it's a fake episode. That I mean, again, that's what I read. Whether it's true or not, I couldn't tell you.
You know what? The fact that we were just hearing audio and not seeing the footage on the TV led me to believe that it might they might have just dubbed in that rather than pay the licensing fee.
Right. Apparently, the voice that you hear on the screen is of Dennis James, who never hosted the Newlywed Game.
Okay.
Because Bob Eubanks was the actual host in 1974.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dennis James was a game show host. You know, he did Name That Tune, Your First Impression, The Price is Right. And all the way back in the, you know, in the 40s and 50s, he was the announcer on the TV show Ted Mack and the Original Amateur Hour. So, yeah, but nope. I couldn't find that. And the second thing I wanted to update people on is that based on our conversation from Monday, I finally got around to watching the movie Charlie Varrick once again, and I actually liked it better than I did the first time I'd seen it about 12 years ago or whatever it was. I had a much better appreciation for it now than I did then, which to me is further proof that you know, there are a lot of times when you'll watch a movie and you won't like it, and then you'll see it again years later in different circumstances and find that you really do enjoy the movie. And obviously it works the same way. The other way also.
You know, I was going to say,
you'll see a movie and you'll be like, wow, this is one of the greatest movies ever. And then you watch it again and you're like, well, maybe not. And
I was going to say, there are plenty of movies aimed at kids in the 90s that I have purposely stayed away from in my adult years because I didn't want to ruin memories.
And that makes sense. I trust me, I've ruined too many of them over the years.
Yes.
From that perspective, you know, movies that you see as a kid and you're like, wow, this is great. And then you rewatch it and you're like, okay, maybe not. I mean, a perfect example of something that this happened to me on was, I guess it was about 12 years ago. I went through and watched all of the Best Picture winners all the way back to 1927. And one of the ones I hated the most was Cimarron from 1931. And for some reason, about a year and a half ago, someone convinced me to rewatch it. And I just loved it. And it was like, wow, I can't believe that I trashed this movie, you know, 11 years earlier, and then rewatched it and really enjoyed it. So, you know, I guess it all depends on perspective from that person, from when you look at it that way.
Of course.
Okay. So those are my two updates of things that have happened over the last 24 hours.
Okay. Cool.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So, minute 34 begins with Al getting cut off. and ends with green questioning blue. So
Yes.
we ended things yesterday with Al basically trying to pass off the buck to Warren, and he started saying, "You're the goddamn deputy mayor," and he says, "Of the city of," and then Warren just cuts him off as this minute begins and says, "Sure, I can handle it. Like I handle every other job, every other filthy, stinking job in this whole miserable city, but I'm not gonna do it." Wait, which I gotta think it's very interesting that we have the deputy mayor saying something like that, because usually, and not always, but in most cases, the deputy mayor is someone who is ambitious and wants to be the mayor eventually. But for Warren to make this type of comment about the fact that it is a filthy, stinking job, maybe he's looking forward to being the mayor so that he can dump all these type of jobs on someone else.
Of course. Well, also, I think this is a case where Warren is fine cleaning up messes and maybe even taking credit. But at a moment when it the outcome for this does not look like it could be great, it could be, no, I'm not going to be involved and be your fall guy. You're going to have to step in and actually show face for this disaster that's about to happen.
Yeah, it's true. It's again, we'll talk more about this in later episodes, in the next few weeks. But it's the type of situation where everyone is they want to take the credit if it's successful, but they want to stay as far away from getting the blame if it's not. And I think
Yes.
that's one of the reasons why Garber is a great character here, because he's not looking for the spotlight. He's
No.
looking to do his job and get this done.
Yes. Yes. And really, credit to Lee Wallace in this scene. Because as he's talking, we already know that he's miserable because he's in bed with the flu. And then just to see the look of horror creep up on his face as Warren is explaining what's happened. Just the complete shock as he. I always love it when someone looks dead ahead with dead eyes and then actually does something else with their hands as he puts the phone back on the receiver. It's be some really beautiful nonverbal acting.
Well, come on, he's also part of the DC universe, so why not? What do you expect?
And just the pathetic look he has as he just flips the television on and sees that he missed the end of the newlywed game. Just almost that's just the cherry on top of the fact that this subway car has been taken hostage.
That's right. And so then he says over the phone, "Well, what is it? Another strike? All right, I can take another strike." And then we hear Warren's voice. He goes, "A gang of men has hijacked a subway train." A gang of men has hijacked a subway train. They want $1 million worth. And he looks at the phone and goes, "Come on up." And then hangs up the phone. And as you said, he has like this dead stare in his eyes as he says that. So it's pretty funny the way that he does that. And then he clicks the remote, and he gets to hear the very end of the Newlywed Game show, the Newlywed Game, right?
Yes.
Right, the end of the Newlywed Game, where we hear couple number one, Tom and Rusty, are the winners of today's Newlywed Game, and then we hear people screaming and we hear applauding. And he goes, "Oh, I missed it." And then he just clicks and turns off the TV. So, it's a nice moment that they do here, because it once again tells us who this mayor is.
Yes.
And I don't know if sniveling is the right word for it, but he's someone who, as far as he's concerned, Even if he wasn't sick, he doesn't want to be taking care of this stuff. Because, I mean, we can infer that from everything that's been going on. Because here we see he's having this conversation with Warren, where he's basically saying to Warren, you have to take care of everything. And Warren says, you know, I am taking care of everything. Meaning that this is a guy who is avoiding dealing with any type of situation that he doesn't need to. You know, if there's someone else who can do it, I'm going to let them do it. Especially if it's Warren.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He delegates everything.
Yes. Yeah. And he's good with it. He doesn't have a problem with that. And then the shot changes and we're back on the train. And we get to see a nice shot of all the hostages. And it's from the point of view of Mr. Green, because we see the side that he's on of the train, and we can see Mr. Gray standing in the doorway at the other end, and we see Mr. Brown on the side, you know, keeping an eye on everybody, and we get to see, you know, all of these eclectic characters that that we've gotten to know a little bit about, and we'll get to know a little more about some of them later on. I've always loved the sleeping woman, you know.
Yes. Yes. Which is, as someone who's traveled on the New York subway a lot, there are those people.
You stay away from those people.
You know what? Yes. Yes, you do. Partially for safety reasons, but also I had a grandfather who worked on the railroad and worked in the engine room of the Staten Island Ferry for decades. And one of his mottos was let the man sleep. If someone is falling asleep, you do not wake him up. He will get up when he needs to.
A passenger or one of his employees?
No, that was just if I'm napping, if I fall asleep on the couch, do not wake me up because I need the rest. So
okay, but if you're on the train and the train has reached the last stop, do you wake someone up or not?
You know what, that's why they have transit cops.
Okay,
that's not your responsibility. Also, depending on who the person is, you don't want to get a jolt reaction and get drawn into anything. You leave people to their own business.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Understandable. Yeah, too many people have gotten into nasty situations by doing things like that. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. And they give us this shot, and then the camera pans down, and we get to see Mr. Green, who is shaking his head, and he gets up and goes to the front of the car and knocks on the cab, and Mr. Blue opens the door and he goes, what do you want, Mr. Green? Now I love the fact that he knows it's Green.
Yes.
Yeah. <'Cause... laughs> Maybe it's because of the nervous knock. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, who else would? None of the passengers would, and the other two guys are just, are busy with their own thing. Green's the worry wart.
True, but again, maybe it's because he's knocking.
Yes.
Nobody else is going to be polite. Gray is going to come and just open the door. You know, that type of thing.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they're too brazen.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he says, what do you want, Mr. Green? And then Green goes, is everything okay? we know very well that Mr. Green has never been in this type of situation before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is a trait a lot of people in my family share, where we just get anxious. You can't just sit and wait. You need to, you need to check, is something going on, even though they've told us an hour, it's been 20 minutes, we're not going to know anything for an hour, but somehow I need to get up and check.
Exactly. Yeah, not, well, again, it's to help us also. You know, Green is the I guess, terrorist or hostage taker that we're meant to relate more to.
Yes.
He's just the regular guy. He's not, Mr. Blue. We know was a soldier of fortune, and we know that Mr. Gray was in the mafia, and Mr. Brown also has a nice rap sheet, but Mr. Green, no.
Yeah, he's not hardened criminals like the other three.
Correct. So for him to knock on the door, is to also let us in to see, okay. And Mr. Blue just sitting there doing his crossword puzzle. He doesn't care.
Yes, yeah.
No worries at all. He's a very patient man because he knows he has till 3:13. So why not wait? I'll just do crossword puzzles. I think it's funny that he actually thought to bring the crossword puzzles with him. I mean, we did see at the very beginning in the first week that there were one of the passengers, a woman who's actually not here, that she was let go. Was doing a crossword puzzle, but I don't think that Mr. Blue stole her crossword puzzle because they never showed that to us. So,
No, no.
what are the odds that there are going to be two people on a train with a crossword puzzle when one of them is a terrorist? I
Yes.
don't know. And as Mr. Green awaits a response, that's where this minute ends. So, did you have anything else you wanted to say about this for a minute?
No, thank you.
Okay. One last thing that I want to mention is that it's very interesting that Warren calls them a gang of men. A gang of men has hijacked the subway train. I don't know if I mean nowadays you wouldn't refer to them that way. If you were to say a gang of men, then you would be thinking that this is, what are the Cribs and the Bloods? They're the ones who did it, that type of thing.
Yes.
And if you're watching a Western, then a gang of men is, Billy the Kid or Jesse James and stuff like that. That's the reference there. But I don't know. And our gang, if you're in the 1930s.
Yeah, I think you would call them today, you
Where
would call them a group of
Spanky and Elvis?
terrorists.
That's right. You would say terrorists have taken over it.
Yes.
Or a lone gunman, or some crazy person, things like that. You wouldn't say a gang of men. That's the, it's an interesting phrase that obviously fits in with the time period of what they're saying. So
Yes.
I think that's good. It's interesting. All right. So every Thursday we have a game that is called 70s Movie Potpourri, where I will randomly give my guest a trivia question about a movie that came out during the 1970s, and
All right.
we'll see how well you know your 70s movie trivia. So
Oh,
let's
well.
spin the wheel and see what question we get.
All
And
right.
around the wheel goes. And let's see what movie question you get. Okay. All right. The movie One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, okay, was a big Oscar winner in 1975. How many nominations did it have, and how many wins?
Oh, well, I know it won. I'm pretty sure it won the Big Five. I know it won Best Picture. I believe it won Director, Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Screenplay. Which probably would have been adapted screenplay. What others? I'm gonna say it was nominated for 10 and it won 7.
Okay, it was nominated for nine, and
Nine,
it won
okay.
five. The only ones that it won were the big five,
Oh, wow.
which is really amazing. Okay, as I'm sure
Yes.
there are only three movies that have ever won all top five Oscars: Best Picture,
Yes.
Best Director, Actor, Actress, and Screenplay. Do you know what those other what the other two movies are besides that? This is a bonus question.
Oh yes, it happened one night, and the Silence of the Lambs.
That's right. Very good. Excellent. So the four that it was nominated for that it did not win was Best Supporting Actor for Brad Dourif. Best Cinematography, Best Film Editing, and Best Original Score in Music.
Okay.
So yeah, those are
Okay.
ones that. So yeah, you came very close. Very nice.
Cool. All right.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Are you a fan of Cuckoo's Nest?
Sure. Yeah. Yes. Excellent movie.
Okay. Very well.
It's got the Joker and the Penguin in it. You know, what's not to like?
That is a good point.
And let's not forget Kai Wynn. If you know, you know.
That's true. That's very true. All right, so let us spin the wheel again to see what the next one will be for you. What is the next
Oh.
question? You get five of these.
Oh, I get five of these.
When you
Oh,
get
okay.
five
All
of
right.
these, you
Let's
get five of these.
roll through them.
All right. Okay. In 1978, the Deer Hunter won a whole bunch of Oscars. Once
Okay.
again, how many was it nominated for, and how many did it win? That's actually funny that you got both
Okay.
of, you got these back to back.
Yeah.
Just for anyone who's been listening over the last 7 weeks, they know that all of these questions are not the same question. Just
Yeah.
like different movies, it's just, there are 10 of them across the
Yeah.
board, but you got that one.
Okay, I'm gonna say it was nominated for eight and it won four.
So it was nominated for nine.
Nine, okay.
Okay, and it won five. Do you have
Okay.
any idea what five it won?
Best picture, if memory serves. Best supporting actor for Christopher Walken. Best cinematography and best score.
Okay, first of all, that was only four, not five that
Okay,
you mentioned.
best score and best sound design.
Okay, well, first of all, what went at least at this point in time hand in hand with Best Picture?
A best director? Or okay.
Right. So it won Best Picture, Best Supporting Actor for Christopher Walken, Best Director for Michael Cimino. It won Best Sound, and it won
Okay.
Best Film Editing.
Film
Okay.
editing. Okay.
Right. And the ones that it did not win was it didn't win Best Actor for De Niro. Best supporting actress for Meryl Streep, best screenplay directly for the screen, and it did not win best cinematography. Those are the ones that it missed.
Okay.
Now, if the next one you get is a different one of these movies, I know you're an Oscar fan like I am, not necessarily from
Yes.
the 1970s, but still.
Yes. Well, I don't keep track of nomination statistics that closely, but okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This might be a little tough one, but it's not an Oscar question. All right.
Okay.
In the 1970 movie Tora, 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 okay, which
Okay.
is a star-studded movie all about the attack on Pearl Harbor,
Of course.
there
Yes, I've
is
seen it.
one actor, okay, who w himself was serving at Pearl in Pearl Harbor when the attack took place. He was in the army. He was there when the attack took place, and he was also the only main actor who, during the course of making this movie, was flown to Hawaii to film his scenes. And when they were filming one of the aerial attack sequences, they could see that he was very shaken because he was reliving that moment. Do you have any idea who that actor would be?
First, I'm trying to think of Tora Tora Tora. I think it's been probably at least 2 decades since I've seen it, maybe three.
Okay, would you like multiple choice on this one?
Sure, Sure.
Okay. So your options are, I will give you five. Okay. It's either Martin Balsam, Jason Robards, Joseph Cotten, E.G. Marshall, or James Whitmore.
Don't think it's Joseph Cotton. I'm gonna go, let's go with the Pelham 1-2-3 answer. Let's go with Martin Balsam.
No, sorry, it
Oh.
was Jason Robards.
Jason Robards. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Which I didn't remember the fact that I had read that in the past. You know, because it is a very fascinating idea that here you have an actor that was sent to, you know, to play a part and had to relive some one of the most tragic days of his long life
Yes,
to
yes.
do that. So, but you give him credit for still taking the job.
Of course, absolutely.
Right. Let us move on to the next question.
Okay.
So let's spin the wheel, see if it's another Oscar-winning picture. Ooh. Okay. In the movie The Life of Brian from 1979, who plays the title role?
Graham Chapman?
Yes, very
Okay.
good. Very
Okay.
good.
Yeah, I was trying to figure, like he usually played the leads in those movies.
We are all, you are all individuals. We are all individuals. All right, now let's do the final one for you. Let's spin the wheel and see what question comes up for Eddie once again.
All right.
Okay, in the Disney film of Robin Hood from 1973, okay, what kind of animals are Robin and Little John?
Robin Hood is a fox. I believe Little John is a bear.
Yes, he is. Very good.
Okay.
Nicely done.
Yes. All right.
You see, you know your trivia.
Well,
Or at least part of
I
it.
think technically I was 1 for 5 there, but
No,
those were
that's not
some
true. You
tough.
no, first of all, you were two for five. You
Okay.
were two for five.
2 for 5. Okay. But those were some tough questions.
That's your excuse. Come on,
All right.
you do claim to be a huge movie fan, or you
Okay.
don't. Or you're saying I should have just only talked about Marvel movies from the 1970s.
No. I'm just saying, I don't keep track of how many nominations every movie gets every
Right. Okay.
year.
No, but here I was talking about some of the
Yes.
big winners and stuff like that. So,
Oh, of course. Of course. Of course.
yeah. All right. Well, thank you for playing. And now we will once again play the daily game of Name That Remake, and see what's up for you this time.
All right, let's do it. All
All
right.
right.
Spin the wheel again.
Spin the wheel. See, I can't even let you spin it. Like in Wheel of Fortune, just lean down and spin that wheel. All right, so let us spin that wheel and see what movie remake you will get this time.
Okay.
Okay, so the original movie came out in 1952, and the remake
Okay.
was in 1990.
1990. Okay.
Okay. And a woman who accidentally witnesses a mafia hit needs to be protected on a train by a by the district attorney.
Protected on a train by the
Yes.
district attorney.
Almost the entire movie, both of these take place on a train.
Nineteen 52, 1990. That's not ringing any bells.
I'll just read the
All right.
synopsises of both of them from IMDb. So the
Sure.
1951 one is a woman planning to testify against the mob must be protected against potential assassins on a train trip from Chicago to LA. And then the 1990 version is a Los Angeles deputy district attorney is sent to protect a woman who accidentally witnessed a mafia murder. The remake was directed by Peter Hames. Hames. Hames.
Peter Himes.
And the original was directed by Richard Fleischer.
I know both of those names. I don't know why this isn't. No, I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to wave the white flag here.
Okay, so the original movie starred an actor named Charles McGraw, and the remake was with the recently deceased Gene Hackman.
Gene Hackman. Movie did Gene Hackman make in 1990? I can't believe I'm coming up
This
blank
movie.
here.
Yeah,
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Really.
the answer is a narrow margin.
Narrow margin. Okay. Yeah. No. It's a blind spot. I was 2 years old when the remake came out. I guess that kind of passed me by.
Apparently. I actually saw that one in the theater, and this is one of those rare occasions where I do like the remake better than the original. And now that we're talking about it, it makes me want to rewatch that movie. So I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
There you go. There you go. I promise I'll do better tomorrow. I promise. This is embarrassing.
You have to be able to promise that you will try to do better. How's
All
that?
right. Do or do not. There is no try.
That is true. That is true. You're right, Yoda.
All right. Thank you for having me.
All right, so Eddie, would you like to once again tell people where they can find Eddie 8?
You can find me in the Twitter space at Eddie Eith, EDDIEEITH.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, achoo.
Gesundheit.